Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What's Up at the Owl's Nest. I'm your host, Matt Terry, and who do we have here at the Owl's Nest? Why, we have Adam Fornwald, Manager for Sports Information and Game Operations, and we also have women's lacrosse players, Sarah Dudick and Caroline Abbott. I want to thank you all for coming in to the show tonight.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
So tell me, let's get to know you. When did you all start playing lacrosse?
Oh, gosh. I started playing lacrosse from about first grade up until now. So basically my whole entire life.
Yeah, I started playing in first grade. And ever since then, like, been playing and I loved it.
So you caught the bug, right? Mm-hmm. And the bug stayed with you for your whole life long.
Yeah.
You have any plans to play professionally after college?
So after Harford, I'm going to definitely play it a four-year. I'm still deciding on that, though, so.
Yeah, me as well. I definitely plan to play lacrosse after Harford at a four-year. Still deciding what state I would like to be in and the right division that fits for me.
What are you all studying right now at HCC?
I'm doing general studies at the moment. I'm figuring out a more specific major, but general studies fits well for me right now.
Yeah, I'm also general studies, but I'm thinking into going into exercise science when I transfer to a four-year.
So many reasons to come out and see HCC athletics in action. Hey, Adam, talk to me about some of the games that we're looking forward to this year.
Yeah, well, I think there's two really that they're looking at that will be impactful for the rest of this year and kind of set the tone.
Oh.
You look at Onondaga on March 20th, and that's a big one. The ladies here face them in the national champion semifinals, had a knockdown, drag them out with them. It's always a tough opponent for us, and they're a really, really good team. And then you look at April 21st, when the Fighting Owls take on Anne Arundel in Arnold, the site of where the women's lacrosse team won the national championship. So that's another good one that I think that they're really, really looking forward to. And obviously you have games like the Monroe game, the Monroe Tribunes game, which will be at home this year, is a big one. Obviously, when you have the conference teams like Howard, when Anne Arundel comes to us, and Essex as well, those are big ones. So definitely be on the lookout for those. Our schedule is up online at HartfordAthletics.com. And all of our home games you can come out and watch for free with a Hartford student ID. So that's a big one. If you're a staff member here, faculty, or student, you can come bring your Hartford ID, you get it for free. And these ladies put on a great show when they're out there. Oftentimes, the game's over pretty quick, so you got to make sure you get in the start of the game because they like to put teams away quick. So, yeah, they've got a lot of great games. They play all their conference teams twice. So they get to see them both on the road and at home. And then a lot of the New York teams, they play a one-off. So they rotate every year this year. And this year happens to be the Monroe game at home and Onondaga on the road. So those are two really big, important games that I would speak for them to say that's what they're looking for. You guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Very exciting games.
Well, we'll certainly be looking forward to all of those shows, Adam. And yes, you guys, you ladies, you always put on a great show for all of the spectators. You should be very, very proud of yourself. Well, you have all of our support here at 91.1 WHFC. Keep making us proud being a part of the Fighting Owls. So talk to me. What does the team look like this year? What are our expectations this year for women's lacrosse?
So our expectations are actually pretty high this year because we did win the national championship last year. We have a giant target right on our backs, and
yeah,
Everyone's definitely coming for us.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the practices that we've had so far, we have been looking pretty decent, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, everyone's bought into what we're doing right now. Like, everyone's giving 100% at practice. Like, we look really good, and I'm really excited to see, like, how far we go.
Talk to me about coming into this season, because you're both sophomores now, and talk to me a little bit about the difference between your freshman year to your sophomore year. How have you seen yourself grown as athletes?
Well, since freshman year, like, when you're a freshman, it's more like you're looking up to the sophomores, and now we're the people that the freshmen are looking up to, so, like, you take a leadership role. So, like, we're both captains, actually, so we're, like, stepping into leadership position, and that's, like, the main difference right now.
More responsibilities,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and last year being a freshman, you're basically just learning the ropes of, like, how the team works, how playing lacrosse at, like, a college level works, because in high school it's completely different. So we were just learning the ropes. And for me, being a captain last year as well, so I also had to learn, like, how the captains, like, work with the team and, like, see how everyone's playing. So it's definitely a big change, but it's a good one for sure.
Matt, I think one of the differences between these two, and they won't say it, but I will, is they both, as a freshman, you're kind of coming in, you're a little bit afraid to kind of give your opinion
sure.
on things and how the team runs and practices and things like that. And kind of like they mentioned, the sophomores really take that over, but it's really in their sophomore year at a junior college where they get to put some of their personalities out there and really help mold the team they want it to be molded and kind of set that example. And these two definitely play a big part in that, especially at practices and at games. And you'll see that that they're going to do that. And I think another thing that they both keep in mind is, especially Sarah, on the offensive side, is a lot of people are going to have film on her and her tendencies and what they do. And so she's going to have to adapt and add new things to her game. And Caroline, being the only returner on defense other than the goalie, Amanda, they're going to have to continue to add things to their repertoire as well. So I think that's another thing. When you're coming in as a freshman, not a lot of people know you, and you kind of have that advantage. Whereas when you're a sophomore, people get more film on you. So these two
right.
definitely are two of the people that are going to have to continue to add to their game as they are, you know, focal points on the offense and the defense, respectively.
Well, they're going to keep making us proud here, being part of the women's lacrosse Fighting Owls, and have no doubt they're going to keep on challenging themselves and challenging our opponents out there as well. Talk to me, ladies. Talk to me about last year's run to the NJCAA National Championship title.
Going to Nat is an unbelievable experience.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was definitely, because I have never experienced anything like that before, and it's definitely something that takes your breath away. Once we won, it just felt unreal. Like, it felt like it didn't happen. So once we won, it just felt like another game that we had won. But then everyone around us, they were like, oh my gosh, you won the national championship. And we're like, I mean, we did, but it was just an unreal experience.
Still processing
nothing. Yeah, I can't explain in full detail just because it felt like it never really happened.
How about you, Sarah?
Yeah, it was a great experience, like, going and, like, we were staying in the hotels together. Like, our team was so close at that point. Like, nothing was stopping us, like, winning that championship.
That's a really good thing, too, you know, about being teammates, is you develop that camaraderie, you know. Mm-hmm. You almost kind of know what each other is thinking. And that's one of the key things, you know, when you're on a field, you know, you have that advantage, you know, when you have that camaraderie, you know, you kind of almost can predict each other's moves.
Matt, I can say, because I was there with them during both of those days that they were there, the 3 days that they were there, really. And I've never seen a team more exhausted after a game than they were after that semifinal game.
I'll
it
bet.
Was unbelievably hot. They played, I would say, the tougher of the two opponents in the semifinals first. Mm-hmm. And then to have to turn around and play an Anne Arundel team that had beaten us for the region final, I think that was obviously a little bit of motivation. But to have that kind of in the back of their heads and to be able to redeem that loss, I was so proud to watch them and be a part of that and just be able to sit there and take on everything that went on. And we had some really great performances. The defense really stepped up with Caroline and with Amanda, who played unbelievably well down the stretch, and Sarah just wouldn't stop scoring goals. So that was really fun to watch. I don't think I've ever seen somebody score as many goals as she did in 2 days. So that was really impressive.
Wow.
But both of them really did stepped up. And I've never seen a team more tired. I'm like, I don't know how they were going to turn around and play the next day. That was just brutal. That was a brutal stretch of games. Normally, in a season, they'll have a 3, 4, 5, even a weekday break before they go and play another game. So to have to turn around, play a really hard team, probably the toughest team they played all year, and then come back and play probably your toughest team in region. An unbelievable accomplishment by these two and the rest of their teammates.
The mental fortitude and stamina that you have to do something like that. We here at WHFC are very proud that you're on our women's lacrosse team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One thing I do want to ask, because, you know, having a bunch of students' perspectives in here on the game and on athletics is paramount, because, you got to balance, you know, your work life, your school life with athletics. So what kind of advice do you give to young players out there on how to have that juggling act?
Definitely get your work done ahead of time. Like, especially we have practice every day and we have certain hours for study hall. Go to those study halls and like get your work done before practice so you don't go home and you're tired and you don't want to do it. It just helps you keep up with your classes. Yeah. And like when you're going to games, like make sure your professors know and they're okay with you missing class. Get your work ahead of time. Like just be very like diligent about it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Sarah because it is a lot, especially with our practice schedule, because almost every day we have a different time we have practice.
Wow.
So either it's in the middle of the day, in the evening, or close to almost being at night, finishing at 9 o'clock. So there's a lot of hours, like big gaps in the day when we don't have class, and definitely try to get your homework done or get help from anyone if you are struggling in any classes. So the library is definitely the place to go to get everything done.
And I would mention we have a wonderful manager for student athlete success that helps all of our teams out as well, that both these ladies love.
There's no doubt.
And like to spend time with. And I think that's huge. That's a big part of their success as well, is asking the advice of your coaches and those in the that work in the athletic department regardless.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have so many great coaches here and so many great staff and personnel here at HCC, and this HCC Athletics, we have those in spades. I want to thank Adam Vornwald, Manager for Sports Information and Game Operations, for bringing in Sarah Dudick and Caroline Abbott from our women's lacrosse team. Ladies, we wish you all the best here with the current season and future seasons and your studies in the future. Hope to have you back on soon.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah,
of course. Thank you.
We're far from alone here in the studios. Why, I have Janice Mahinka, Assistant Professor of Musicology, and Richard Johnson, Assistant Professor of Music Theory and Composition. And I want to thank you both here for coming in to the Owl's Nest today. I think this is your first time on.
Why, yes, it is.
Talk to me about some of the upcoming concerts here at HCC in the music department.
Well, we have a jazz concert coming up on Friday, March 27th at 8 p.m. in Joppa Hall, room 108. It's Irene Jalente's Homage to the Beatles.
This is a wonderful opportunity where not only is Irene, who's quite an exceptional jazz vocalist, going to be doing interpretations of Beatles classics, she's going to be joined with bassist Jeff Reed and drummer Eric Kennedy, along with one of our own studio faculty members here, Alan Blackman, who teaches jazz piano here.
Sounds like it's going to be a great concert. Now, we were talking before the interview. Are there lessons available for the students here at HCC? I'm thinking definitely there is, but I guess I should say, how do people get lessons? If I wanted to pick up a musical instrument, who would I talk to? What would be my first steps here at HCC?
Well, there are many ways to go about it. You can talk to either Dr. Johnson or myself, and we'd be happy to make sure we find the right studio for what you're looking for. You could also just sign up for the first level of any of our myriad lessons that are available. We have everything from voice to electric guitar, electric bass, all the instruments. If we don't have what you need right away, we can certainly find it for you.
And that's what we're all about here at Hartford Community College, is making accessible instruments and equipment for our students. What are some of the upcoming classes here at the HCC Music Department?
Well, for the fall, we have a bunch of things planned. As usual, we have for people interested in majoring in music, we start with Theory 1 and Art of Listening 1 that are requirements for the major. And then for non-majors, we have History of Popular Music in the United States, we have World Music, we have Listening to Jazz. And in the fall of 2020, we also have a special honors section of world music available to all students as well. Dr. Johnson's side of the house?
Yeah, I'm mainly focused in music theory and to some degree technology. So that includes the music theory track, which is, as Dr. Mahinka said, required of all music majors, and covers everything from fundamentals through a great deal of information about classical music theory, common practice era, as it's sometimes called, through what's happening today in music. Additionally, there's a course, Intro to Electronic Music, that deals with how do we use technology in the creation of music, in creation of sound collages, and a wide variety of things connected to technology and sound.
Well, technology and sound go hand to hand nowadays, don't they? Because everything is digitally controlled. Now, are there any technology courses that are available to students that teach them how to use some of the digital technology in music?
At this time, that's limited to the introduction to electronic music. There's plans going forward to expand that into a larger program offering digital music production. That's a program that does not yet exist. We're thinking a few years down the line before that one's available.
Well, it sounds like something for us to sit on and talk about at a later date.
Absolutely.
With any kind of art, whether it be acoustic, vocal, visual arts, performing arts, it's a scene to try to learn how to market oneself, both in the music industry and in any of the visual mediums and performing mediums. How important is it for a student to learn entrepreneurship in an artistic field?
I think it goes along with the other requirements of any dedicated trade or skill. It's something that, along with practicing your instrument and practicing the discipline involved with all of that, you also have to reach out and explore the other avenues, social media and all of the other ideas of just simply sometimes showing up to other people's gigs and showing up to other events. We're happy in the music department to be able to offer so many concerts where not only can our music students and our non-music majors support the professionals that come in, but can also speak with them, learn a little bit about how they work and how they got to where they are.
And it should be noted that of our faculty, our studio faculty members who are here, all of them are performing professionals. Part of that lesson opportunity, you are working each week with somebody whose life has been built around making a living out of music, making
right.
a living out of performing. There's no limitation if within that lesson that says, no, we're only doing exercises. No, we're only doing this. Conversations about what the business brings, conversation about what am I doing? How do I go forward? That always has the potential to come up within those one-on-one lessons that you get within the program.
It's always good to give back to all of our students, and it sounds like each and every person in the music department has just tons of experience to educate our children and ply their young minds.
And also the not-so-young minds. We offer lessons and these experiences for everyone, so we actually pride ourselves in a very inclusive place where people can bring all sorts of different knowledges, and even if they just want to simply try a new instrument, it's a nice welcoming place to try out new things.
So we're not just limited to the student body, we're also expanding our reach to everyone out in the community.
Yeah, all of our lessons and ensembles, including the community ensembles, are all available for participation. So we could offer it as credit classes for students who are here, but also as auditing for people who did not want to take it for a grade or for credit.
Quick question. Talk to me about the ensembles with the HCC Music Department.
Well, there are a number of ensembles that are either part of the department itself or affiliated. So affiliated with department, we have the Susquehanna Symphony Orchestra, we have the Harford Choral Society, and we have the Bel Air Community Band. These are large ensembles that have existed within the community for quite some time and predate even working with the program and working with department. Dr. Mahinka, would you like to talk about the ones directly in the department?
Sure. We have available directly through our department, we have a vocal jazz ensemble that has a separate rhythm section. So there's a coach for both the director for the vocal jazz ensemble as a whole, and then the rhythm section is student participants, and they have a separate coach to lead them into how they how they will support the vocal jazz ensemble. We also have a larger jazz ensemble considered more instrumental, and Benny Russell is the director of that, and he puts together whatever forces we have available and that come to join us to make some awesome music for at the end of every semester. We also have, depending on student interests, a cappella group for vocal. We've been continually trying to get more and more people to know that we have these things, so anything we can do to help get that out there would be great. We also have chamber ensemble that is available to music majors and non-music majors, credit and audit, and or audit, where we have Professor Park, Sana Park, our studio piano faculty. She leads everyone into specific groups depending on what they, what instrument they play, their level. So okay. It's very customized for the students to have a chamber experience.
Talk to me about some of the scholarships that are available in the HCC Music Department.
So we have two scholarships available. One is directly through HCC that is available to music majors as well as to non-majors. We have the scholarship in place where auditions will take place toward the end of the semester. It is a talent-based scholarship, and we usually offer multiple scholarships, different levels depending on different variables. We especially encourage non-music majors and people who want to participate in any of the ensembles to try out for the scholarship because we would like to help support their desire to have more extracurricular music ensemble experience. We also have available, graciously through the Hartford Choral Society, a separate scholarship for people who are interested in participating in their particular ensemble.
Janice, talk to me. Talk to me about your classes and tell me about all that it is that you do here for the student body at Hartford Community College.
Well, that's a big question.
Sorry.
I could just narrow that one down a little bit. I'll start with classes. And for classes, we have some general education classes. So most of my role here is fulfilling general education as well as supplementing what music majors need. And the main classes I teach are world music. It's an introduction to world music where we go over multiple genres from most regions of the entire world in one semester. And we get into a little bit about what makes it move and shake and groove. This is something that for a lot of people, they're interested in finding out more, but not quite sure how to go about it. So I give the tools to be able to learn a little bit more about more things in life when it comes to world music. For people who are interested in popular music, we have a history course of popular music in the United States, MUS 222, and there we cover the history of popular music. We don't quite get to the present, but we do start around 1619 and move all the way into 1999, and the class is built such that students can have a final project and work on any piece of music they would like to present to the rest of the class.
Oh.
So that's something a little fun, exciting, and in-depth in new ways to talk about what music means to us and how we have it feel, how it makes us feel.
And it gives them that opportunity to explore music on their own terms also.
And get more depth on the music that they already know and love and see a little bit more about where it came from and how it came from and why it is so important to pop music.
Richard, talk to me. Talk to me about your classes and all that you're doing here for the student body here at HCC.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. It would be my pleasure. First and foremost, primarily, my responsibility is the music theory track here. That is four classes that occur each semester that are intended to give students background in music theory. We're talking fundamentals, notation, rhythm, going through the theory of classical music, of what's called common practice era music. This is about chords, how harmonies relate to one another, and eventually moving into what kinds of things are happening now in the creation of music as an art form. Additionally, I also teach a course in Introduction to Electronic Music, which covers, hey, what happens once electronics became part of how we created music?
Right.
A lot of students come in thinking right away, oh, we're going to be talking about EDM. We're doing electronic dance music. We're doing trance. But electronic music has meant a lot more than that and for longer than a lot of students think. And so the technology that goes into the creation, some of the theory behind it, and most importantly, the creation of it.
And the music department, of course, is located in Joppa Hall.
That is correct. Take that entrance on the southwest corner, and we are pretty much the first thing on your right.
I'd love to thank my guests here in the studio today, Richard Johnson, Assistant Professor of Music Theory and Composition, and Janice Mahinka, Assistant Professor of Musicology. I want to have you both on the Owl's Nest again, so that way you can keep us informed and updated of all the wonderful concerts here in the music department at HCC and all the goings-ons in the department.
Thank you so much, Matt. It'll be our pleasure to be back, and thank you for all of your dedication and hard work getting Owl's Nest off the ground.
Thank you very much for having us, Matt.
I'd like to thank my guests on the Owl's Nest this week, Adam Fornwald, Manager for Sports Information and Game Operations, as well as our Fighting Owls who stopped by, Sarah Dudick and Caroline Abbott, for coming on to the show. A big thank you to Dr. Janice Mahinka, Assistant Professor of Musicology, and Dr. Richard Johnson, Assistant Professor of Music Theory and Composition from the HCC Music Department, for all they do for the musical arts and the student body. And of course, I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in. And until next week, stay curious.